Okay, this is a little misleading title, but you know there are no requirements in any draft and so on. So, but anyway, so I'm basically going to talk about two issues related to the prac, and this was all started by when we previously in ITF discussed the issue how to reject an STP offer in a prac. Basically, this is a little background. So what's the problem is that 3.2.6.2 more or less assumes that you will always send a 200 OK to a prac. STP offer received cannot be rejected using a 4xx response. There's a recommendation that only unrejectable STP offers should be sent in a prac. You know that, but that's what is an unrejectable offer? I mean, if you say that to your implementer, they're gonna say you're like what? Or as I will say also in a while, there are of course other reasons than offer answer why a prac can be rejected. That's what I said here actually, that one cannot assume that the prac will not be rejected because of STP offer rejection or some other reason. Next slide, please. So basically, what we did in based on email discussions and also previously in IETF. We did have an agreement, or at least nobody objected to it, that it shall be allowed to send a non-200 response to a prac, for example, a 488 response to reject an STP offer, and so on. Next slide, please. So basically, I mean, unless someone has an issue with that. But then the open issue is that when you do send a non-200 response to a prac, are you also going to cease the retransmission of the reliable provisional response? Because normally when you get a prac, you stop retransmitting the reliable 180x, which is associated with that one. So the question is, also if you're going to send a non-200 response to the prac, are you going to also that to stop the retransmission, or will it continue? There are basically two issues related to first one. So if you take it in the assuming that the non-200 response would cease the retransmission on the reliable response, then the issue is that the prac may have been rejected by an intermediate, which meant that the UAS never got the prac in the first place. So the UAS will keep sending the 180x because he never got the prac. But of course, the UAC would assume that, okay, I got this 400 response, so the UAS is not going to send the 180x anymore. So that's pretty bad. Then, of course, you have the
Christer,
issue.
Christer. Yeah. Pause. Jonathan Rosenberg, why would a proxy reject a prac?
Not maybe a proxy, but you can have an intermediate which looks at the STP or whatever. So, I mean, yeah.
Are you asking where would you encounter it, or why would they reasonably reject it? Because it's a different question.
Back-to-back user rated?
So 401, 407.
Adam, you want to say something? Okay. And then the issue is if a non-200 response would not cease the retransmission of the 180x. That's maybe more or less, and I would call it maybe an editorial issue, because the text, if you read 3.2.6.2, the way it's written today, pretty much assumes that the retransmission will always be ceased, and that's probably also based on the assumption that you will always send a 200 OK. If you read the text, it more or less says that when the UAS gets the prac, before it's even decided what their response is going to be, it's going to look for the associated 180x and stop transmitting it. So that would have to be changed somehow to RFC 3.2.6.2. There's also another issue related to state machine, of course, because normally I believe when the UAC gets the retransmission of the 180x, he would retransmit the associated prac. But that would, of course, not happen in this time, because you don't want to keep resending this old prac, which was rejected. You are actually going to send a new prac. So if, for example, you had an offer in the prac, maybe you will remove that offer and try again or change the offer or something like that. So next slide, please. So the proposal is, and this has seems people have said also on the list, is that we should clarify that a non-200 response does not cease the retransmission of the reliable provisional response. So if a UAC sends a prac, gets a non-200 response, it should send, or it shall send, a new prac and try to get a 200 for that. So does anyone have any issues with that?
Thank you.
So that means that the 18-whatever-X will keep being resent, which means the prac will keep being resent and keep getting rejected.
Well, I mean, of course, in the worst case scenario, the PRAC will be rejected no matter what you do. But I mean, if you did, for example, include an offer in the PRAC, you may remove that offer or change that offer or something and hope that the new PRAC is not going to be rejected. I mean, it sounds kind of complicated. Actually, when we start to discuss this, I think most people actually thought, and that editorial-wise, that would also be the most simple solution to say that no matter what response you get, I mean, the retransmission of the 180X will be ceased. But the problem then came, someone brought up, hey, but what if this PRAC is rejected by an intermediate, by a back-to-back user or something?
Well, if it's rejected by an intermediate, then clearly the guy who's sending the response will not stop because he didn't get the PRAC.
Exactly.
So you don't have to say anything about that. It will continue sending it. I mean, that's
sure.
Unavoidable. But if it's the far end sending it, which I thought was your use case originally, the UAS itself rejecting it due to SDP, an offer or unauthorization, like it itself could challenge it.
Yeah, but the problem is the UAC doesn't know who rejected it, PRAC. It doesn't know whether this rejection.
It's not up to the UAC to retransmit responses. It's up to the UAS.
Yeah, but the question here is the question here is the UAC. When he gets a four non-200 response to the PRAC, should he assume that the retransmission has ceased, or should he say, no, the retransmission is continuing, so now I have to send a new PRAC and try to get the 200 for that?
No, but you're going to get another response. Why would you send a PRAC to that one?
Sure, but you're going to retransmit the previous PRAC with the current state machine, and that's not going to help.
So again, there's an existence proof, 401, 407.
Yes. Oh, I agree.
So, and you might take a step off from that, and I'm not offering this as a solution, but you might take a step off from that to say that you would stop retransmitting if it was an error that you couldn't recover from. If it would, you tried to recover.
This is Hadriel Kaplan. The thing that's confusing me, I thought this was talking about you ceased retransmission of the reliable provisional response. That's up to the UAS. You're talking about retransmitting the PRAC. That's
no,
up to the UAC.
No.
Well, how is the UAS going to stop transmitting a response? Oh, sorry. From the mic. How does the UAS stop retransmitting the response if it doesn't get the PRAC to begin with because of a 401 or 407?
That's exactly what I'm saying. So that's when the UAC, when he gets the new non-200 response, it should not assume that the retransmission or the reliable response has stopped. So the UAC should send a new PRAC and hopefully get 200 for that, which means that the UAS will get this and stop retransmitting the 180X. I don't know.
François, let me back off a little bit. Actually, quite a bit.
That's what we're just talking about.
This idea of sending offers in PRAC, is it like just because it's allowed, or is there a good reason to do that in the first place?
Well, I mean, I think the original reason was when we were working on preconditioning. It was okay. Now we can save an update. But by sending one of these preconditioned offers in a PRAC, I think that's the main reason.
But that seems like a pretty bad reason, especially if this is most likely not going to work with anybody that's already deployed stuff today. So.
Well, I think when we discussed previously when we discussed how to reject an offer in a PRAC, one of the alternatives was actually to, hey, let's say that don't use PRAC for offer answer, but that was not the outcome. Of those discussions.
Right, but now we're back and we're looking at this. Maybe we should reopen the question because it seems that the cure is a lot worse than the disease.
Yeah, but like I said, you may get this non-200 response also for other reasons than offer answer, so I think you have to be able to deal with it in any case. Even if we'd say, no, don't use PRAC for offer answer, you can still get a non-200 response for whatever reason. I don't know, whatever reasons. So I don't think we should look at this only from an offer-answer perspective, more like, I get a non-200 response to the PRAC. What does that mean?
Okay.
I
think we'll have to take this to the list because I think we have to think about it and have some call flows, diagrams.
Sorry?
I think we should take this to the list.
Yeah, I think definitely we're going to have to, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. And there's also another issue when we have been discussing this was that now if we're going to update PRAC, due to this, are there any other issues in PRAC or in 3262 which people would like to change? And one of the issues which has come up every now and then is there's a rule in PRAC saying that if the initial invite doesn't contain an STP offer, the first reliable response must contain an offer. No one has really been able to give a very good reason for that, but that was it. And we discussed whether we should lose that rule. I mean, and the outcome was that, you know, we're not going to do it just because we think it's good. Actually, we should really have some reasons for doing so. And people were asked to provide use cases why that rule is causing or may cause troubles today. So the following slides I did with I don't remember. Sanjay from Cisco. He's not here, I believe, but he provided me with the use cases which show that why this rule can be bad. So one of the use cases is when you have interworking with between SIP and H323. Someone may say that that doesn't exist, but you know it does exist out there, and with slow start, which means that. In that case, you may not be able to send an STP in the first reliable 180x if you're using that. If you go to the next slide, there is a call flow showing that scenario. There's another use case also, more pure SIP, so to say, is if you have some kind of call forwarding and you have some entity sending 188. That the call is forwarded. Now, if this is sent reliable, the entity which sends this 181 may not really have any, you know, this can be an application server or something, but it doesn't really have any useful STP offer to insert into this 181. But there still may be 100 rel required in invite, which means that this has to be sent reliable. And of course, if this invite doesn't contain STP. Next slide, please. So basically, this is the impact of in 3262. If we would change this is the impact here. We would just more or less just change a must to may. So it would be very similar to the text today, which says that if the invite contains an STP, the reliable response may contain an answer. So next slide, please. Before I just want to say one thing. So of course, the issues with that is, okay, first of all, is there a backward compatibility issue with this? Personally, I don't think so. I haven't. This is just my personal experience. I haven't seen clients' phones sending invites without STP in the first place. I have seen so I don't think this is an issue. I have seen gateways. I have seen application servers sending invite without STP. However, those which I have seen do not break in case the first reliable provisional response doesn't contain STP offer. I mean, they will still work and they will expect this offer to come later in another 180x and at latest in the 200k. But of course, that's just me. If someone else has other opinions. One way of gathering and try to gather information is for, of course, and Robert could, you know, talk in. Check this out and SIP it, what people say, and everybody who has some implementation could say what he or she thinks. I don't think it's a problem, but that's just me. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, let's take these comments, and then we're going to go ahead and stop this discussion and move on to the next one, okay?
I just have a tendency to want to eat the mic for some reason. Yeah. Hi, it's Hadriel Kaplan. There is a backward compatibility problem. I completely agree that we probably shouldn't have done it, put that wording in maybe originally, because there are problems with it. There are problems with offerless invites to begin with, frankly, and there's problems with PRACs when you do this stuff too. But there will be a backward compatibility problem. Testing at SIPIT will not prove anything, unfortunately, because the devices that are deployed are deployed. They don't go to SIPIT. The things that go to SIPIT are the new devices.
Sure.
So,
I
don't know what to do about this because it is a real world problem. And it's much worse than this, actually. This almost makes it sound easy. But the horse has left the barn. I don't know what to do about that. But there are devices out there that generate offerless invites and will fail the call if you send a reliable provisional response without the SDP. And I know that only because we have to generate fake SDP for those devices in some cases, which is like the worst possible thing in the world to have to do. But I'd love to solve it. I just have no idea how to solve it in a backwards compatible way, I guess.
But
my
if you're,
point. So
if
I agree with you on the you know, problem and use case problem and everything else. I just have there's no solution that is not backwards
That's
compatible.
That's just good for you. Then everybody who has the problem will have to buy your box and put it there.
No, I don't want to. No. I want to solve the problem. Don't get me wrong at all.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move Francois, and then this we're going to have to cut it off, okay?
Francois is speaking. I've got a similar concern. I'm pretty sure that this would cause interop problems. I've seen many places where people have actually read that sentence and have acted on it. The other thing I want to point out is a lot of the stuff in there seems to be, you know, what happens when there's a 181, which I don't think I've ever seen. And then HT23, I think every time I see an HT23 interrupt problem, it's typically horrible, and it typically doesn't really work that well. So this is another case of I think we might actually cause more damage by changing the rule than leaving it alone. But like Adriel, I don't really know what to do about it. Thanks.
Okay.
I can tell you there are 181s out there.
Okay. So we'll have to continue this discussion on the list, guys, okay? And then.